Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
God's word written to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I receive it as truth for my life today and open my heart to hear God speak a word, reveal Jesus to me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, then send me out to share Christ with others so that my life will be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Freely I have received, therefore freely I will give. Father, I thank you for free-flowing forgiveness, flowing to me and flowing through me. I make a conscious decision to walk in free-flowing forgiveness towards anyone and everybody who has ever hurt me or offended me or sinned against me or done anything bad against me, anybody who's ever used me. I make a conscious decision right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, to walk free of offense and unforgiveness and bitterness. Lord God, I thank you. Freely I've received, therefore freely I give. Freely I've received, therefore freely I've give. Come on, say it with me. Freely I've received, therefore freely I give. We're in a series that we're calling, I Can't Live Like This Anymore. Healing the Hurt That Is Hurting Me. And the title for today's message is simply this: You Get What You Allow. And the subtitle is Setting Up Biblical Boundaries. We're continuing in this series, and the heartbeat of this series really is about healing relationships, particularly in the area of unforgiveness. And it's so important because relationships, though they're a precious gift from God, the Bible is very clear and very consistent that as long as we live in this fallen earthly realm in this world, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you and I to take on offense, to be hurt, to be sinned against, to experience hurt and pain in relationships, and unfortunately, all of the dysfunction that comes with it. And God knew this, and that's why through salvation, He's provided a supernatural ability to walk in forgiveness, allowing Him by His Word and by His Spirit to bring healing to the hurt that is hurting us. Last week, I don't have time to go through every week, but last week, Sister Joni blessed us and she reminded us that in order to walk in forgiveness, we must walk out forgiveness God's way. And to see that, Joni gave us four clear practical steps to walking out forgiveness, and they're found in Matthew chapter 18. Let's start there, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother," that's referring to believers, "sins against you," here's the first step, "go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Number two, "But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." That's the second step. In other words, you want to bring someone with you who's going to help to mediate whatever the challenge is. Someone who's not going to be just giving you all the favor and staying with you. They want to look at things objectively, right? That's really, really important. Remember, the goal, Joni said this over and over, it's not to be right, but it's to reconcile relationships. Verse 17, here's the third step. "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church." Again, this is referring to believers, bringing in some leadership, some spiritual wisdom, some biblical counsel. "But if he refuses even to hear the church," here's the fourth step, "let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Well, what does that mean? Basically, heathen is another term for the word pagan. It's an unbeliever. It's a Gentile. Let me put it this way. It's someone who's outside the commitments and the covenant relationship with God. tax collector. Now, that's an actual occupation in the Bible times, even today, right? But in Bible times, tax collectors were layered with all kinds of negative connotations. There was a lot of negative implications about tax collectors. First, they were Jews that had abandoned national loyalty to work for the oppressive Roman Empire in their day. So they were like really, really bad. Not only that, it was common knowledge in that day that tax collectors cheated those that they collected taxes from. And third, because they overcharged the people that they cheated, they would skim off the top and they were well-to-do. So tax collectors were kind of on the outs. And they had bad reputations. So Jesus is basically saying, listen, you got to think about someone who doesn't want to comply and flow in the spirit of forgiveness as someone who's outside of the flow of the spirit and the things of God. Back to Matthew 18:17, Jesus is basically saying, since an individual like this is resisting this flow of forgiveness and reconciliation, there needs to be some lines drawn in the sand. In other words, there needs to be some boundaries, some biblical boundaries put in place. The Apostle Paul even adds to this in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Listen to what Paul says. He says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid those types of people. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple means people that don't know any better, maybe a little naive. They don't understand how evil operates. So Paul's saying, listen, you got to avoid these types of people. I want to add one more thing that Joni mentioned last week. She took us or mentioned 2 Corinthians 6:14, where the scriptures say, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, a yoke, she mentioned the fact that it's a wooden harness that connects two oxen together, and it leverages or it combines their strength. However, think about this with me. If one ox is significantly stronger, his strength will dominate the strength of the other ox, causing the pair to just go in circles. Picture that with me. Because Paul is saying, in the same way, when we try to walk in sync with an unbeliever or a Christian walking in his own way, in his own strength, not the strength of the Lord or in the Lord's way, what happens is we continue to go in circles, adding more offense and more hurt to ourselves and to our relationships. Thus, the fourth truth for last week, there are times we have to draw clear lines and we have to know how to set healthy, biblical boundaries. Some people might even be thinking right now, I thought we're supposed to love everyone all the time. Well, this might sound as a shock to you, but that's not true. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What? How does that reconcile with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How does that reconcile? It's important we recognize that God's love for the world was motivated by a heart and a desire to redeem and reconcile, not to keep peace at all costs. That might be a shock to some people. Well, think about what Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-35. Jesus, don't imagine that I came to bring peace on the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. How is that possible? In other words, as an ultimate example of God's love, Jesus is unquestionably clear. His assignment is not simply to preserve peace at all costs. Instead, his assignment is to establish God's kingdom truths and God's kingdom rule in authority with clarity. Come on, somebody say amen. It's important that we see that. Second, There are boundaries all over the Bible. I don't know if you've ever recognized that, but there are geographical boundaries. There's atmospheric boundaries. There's spiritual boundaries. Think about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are boundaries. They're God's boundaries of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Jesus set boundaries. Jesus regularly took time away to be alone with the Father or to rest and to replenish. Even when people and multitudes wanted him and were looking for him and needed healing from him, he made boundaries. Think about this in John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. Listen. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. In other words, he understood human nature. Verse 25. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man. In other words, he didn't need anybody to tell him what human nature was really like. For he knew what was in man. This is a picture of Jesus who loves people, but he put boundaries in place and he didn't totally give himself over to people because he knew and he understand human nature. He knew that there were some people who just wanted to follow him for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. There was really no heart to follow him and to surrender their lives to him. So Jesus put up boundaries. I've realized over the years, I'm still learning. There's a lot that I don't know. But I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been on staff for 18 years at a church. I know some things. And one of the things that I can't figure out is human nature. Jesus knows human nature. And he made boundaries. I have a hard time with that. What about you? One of the areas that the Lord has shown me that I need to make boundaries is my constant pursuing people who really don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's hard for me. They'll only come if I offer them something. They'll only come if I've got something for them. They'll only come if I'm doing everything I can to drag them to church. But there's really no desire to be changed. And sometimes I need to put a boundary in place. That's very difficult. But boundaries, healthy biblical boundaries, are necessary at times. I want to give you five practical truths about biblical boundaries. These are really good. I would take notes if I were you. Number one, biblical boundaries should be spirit-led, not determined by your flesh, but determined in the multitude of counselors. I'll put it this way. Let your boundaries be led by the Spirit with counsel. Biblical boundaries should be spirit-led and determined in the multitude of counselors. In other words, biblical boundaries shouldn't be determined in the heat of a moment or even in isolation or the product of rash decisions. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. So if we can learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the way, as a child of God, you are now supernaturally inclined. It's in your spiritual DNA to learn how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. It takes spiritual exercise, but it's in you and it's in me. And if we'll learn to follow the flesh of the Spirit instead of the flesh, we won't do the things that are fleshly. We'll do the things that are spiritual. We'll do the things that God wants us to do, things that are scriptural. So when you're setting boundaries, it's important you recognize, oh, I need the Spirit's wisdom on this. I need the direction of the Holy Spirit on this. What does the Word say about this? What do some other spiritually mature people say about this? It's so important that we're just making rash decisions in our flesh. So important. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Now, it would depend on who the multitude is, amen? But we're talking about godly counsel, not Oprah, not necessarily Dr. Phil, not from the world, from the word. Amen? So important. Now, on the other hand, check out Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. Sometimes when we're all by ourselves and we're thinking all those thoughts and all the frustration and so on and so forth, we're raging against wise judgment and we're going to make a rash decision because we're trying to do it all on our own. And biblical boundaries need to take wisdom into account so that we can make right decisions. They're not supposed to be established in our flesh. They're not supposed to be established in our emotions or by a rash, harsh decision. Instead, they're the result of being led by the Holy Spirit and walking in wise biblical counsel. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Number two, biblical boundaries reassign righteous access and responsibility. Biblical boundaries reassign righteous access and responsibility. I heard a counselor, I think he was a psychologist, I think it was Dr. Cloud, Townsend and Cloud. They were real famous at one time for a book that they wrote on boundaries. I think one of them was quoted saying something like this, putting up walls keeps everybody out, but setting up boundaries shows everybody where the door is. See, you don't want to keep everybody out, but you do want to show everybody where the door is, right? So biblical boundaries, they reassign the door. They reassign righteous access to your life and to my life and responsibility that comes along with having access to your life and to my life. Biblical boundaries, they redraw these healthy lines of access physically, emotionally, spiritually, allowing a person to retake responsibility of their own lives. You're responsible. I'm responsible for who we allow access to in our lives. Have you ever heard of codependency? I've met so many people and families over the years in neighborhoods and ministries where there's this unhealthy, toxic codependency. It's spiritual at its root. But they can't live together, but they can't live apart from each other either. It's really demonic. It's poisonous. There are no doors. Everything's open, and they just treat each other with the most disrespect, and just ungodly access is given to one another, and they just live in this junk because they don't have a lens for biblical boundaries. They don't even know where to begin, and it's really, really sad. Is anybody grateful that the Word points out the need for healthy biblical boundaries at times? So, so necessary. Proverbs 25:17 says this, check this out. Don't visit your neighbors too often, or you will wear out your welcome. Have you ever heard that before? Right? What is that? That's access that is limited. There's a limited access there. If you overdo it, they're going to get tired of you. So don't overdo it, right? Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. That's access denied. See the boundary there? You don't even want to go near there. There's a boundary from the Lord for your life, for my life. Don't associate closely with angry people who don't have any control of their tempers. It doesn't mean we don't love people and we're not trying to disciple people, but we got to know the difference between just giving somebody complete 100% access who's living like that and then that healthy boundary, that biblical boundary, that door that is necessary at times. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man or a woman sharpens the countenance of his or her friend. What is that? That's access granted. If you've got a friendship, if you've got a relationship with someone you know is going to sharpen you, going to strengthen you, going to encourage you, going to pray for you, going to kind of keep you moving along the things of God, you want to give access. You want to grant access to that type of a person in your life. You need that type of a person in your life. I need that type of a person in my life. How about Proverbs 4:23? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, flows or springs the issues of life. Your life comes from your heart. That is priority access. That's the highest priority that you and I have, to guard our heart, to guard our ears, to guard our eyes, to guard what's coming in spiritually, what we're listening to, what we're watching. We got to guard our hearts. We got to keep that as a priority. We got to make sure the boundaries are set in place. Why? Because everything we're allowing into our eyes and our ears, it's getting into our heart. And our life flows from our heart. So you got to know that you got to have boundaries around your heart, your ear gates, your eye gates. It's so important. We should only allow those people who we trust and those people who are willing to act responsibly with the access that we give them to our lives. Now, if we're being honest, those types of discussions are difficult, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what I was realizing is that the longer that I've walked with the Lord, and the more that I'm surrounding myself with people that are walking with the Lord, and people that are wanting to mature in the things of the Lord, and those are the closer people in my life, you know what I realized is that in the last few years, maybe the last couple of years, I haven't had to set up as many boundaries. But the more that you walk with people who have a disregard for the things of God, who don't really care about the scriptures, the spirit, or the kingdom of heaven, the more you associate with those kinds of people, the more you're going to find yourself having to create biblical boundaries. Because those types of people really don't respect you if they don't respect your boundaries. Does that make sense? So it's really important. You're the keeper of your door. I'm the keeper of my door. And so the encouragement here is you should only be allowing people access through your door for your life if they're willing to respect you, they're willing to love you, and they're willing to respect the boundaries that you've put in place for your life. If someone's trying to force you to do something, if someone's browbeating you, if someone is using foul language around you all the time, if someone is using God's name in vain all the time, if someone is evil in a certain kind of way and that's always around you, you have to be careful. You have to create boundaries. You have to have those discussions, because evil company corrupts good habits. And so we have to be on guard, to guard our hearts, to guard our lives. Number three, biblical boundaries must be clearly and gently communicated. Come on, say that one with me. Biblical boundaries must be clearly and gently communicated. Think about this. The whole context of Matthew chapter 18, it's communication to go to someone, get others involved, seek godly counsel. Why? It's all part of drawing clean lines for healthy biblical boundaries. Why? So that God can work in and through you to restore relationships. Remember, we're talking about healthy relationships as the underlying premise of this whole series. Relationships are beautiful, but relationships can also be ugly. Relationships are wonderful, but relationships are probably the hardest things that we have to deal with in our lives. Relationships and people are a blessing from the Lord, but relationships and people are sometimes the biggest thorns in our sides. And so we have to understand what the scripture says about biblical boundaries. And we have to learn how to be bold enough and wise enough, with help if needed, to be able to gently and lovingly and clearly communicate boundaries. Think about Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, this is what it says. Then we will no longer be immature like children. That's spiritually. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Notice, we will speak the truth in love. So we're not communicating boundaries in a harsh way. We're not speaking and laying out these biblical boundaries in a fleshly, ungodly way. No, we're communicating these in love, and we're communicating these gently. It's so important. Jesus was gentle. Jesus was truthful, but Jesus was gentle and he was loving. Now, most people, if we're being honest, we just want to avoid messy conversations. I know I do a lot of times. I would just rather avoid a messy conversation. In my mind, I might be thinking I'm setting a boundary, but the truth is I might just be giving somebody the silent treatment, or I'm ghosting somebody. Have you ever heard of that term before? You're just kind of avoiding people. The problem is, there's never really any healing or any restoration that comes to that relationship. And what happens is, if we just move from one relationship like that to the other, what happens, all those offenses and all of those hurts and all of those sins, it begins to kind of create this scar tissue in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind. And we live with that now. We can't see it, but in the spirit, if you could, you got people walking around. They're all beat up. They're all hurt. They got all kinds of scar tissue from sins and offenses and hurts against them. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to live healthy and whole, blessed lives in Christ. So it's important that we learn how to gently communicate very clearly biblical boundaries when it's necessary. Now, number four, biblical boundaries are an instrument of healing, not a weapon of revenge. Joni mentioned this last week. It's important that we recognize that biblical boundaries are an instrument of healing, not a weapon of revenge. We've already noted that biblical boundaries are not to be formed manipulatively, or they're not supposed to be some kind of a punishment, not reactionary. They're not determined in the heat of the moment. They're not fleshly. They're not in isolation. Instead, biblical boundaries are supposed to be led by the Spirit. They're supposed to be determined in the multitude of counselors and communicated clearly and as gently as possible. And we want to remember, God's given us biblical boundaries to bring healing and to bring restoration. But sometimes we have to deal with situations, and unfortunately, sometimes those situations are tied to people. Look at Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scoffer and strife ceases. Get rid of the person. Maybe that's a wrong terminology. Get rid of, cast off. You know, you have to make a boundary with certain people, unreasonable people, unagreeable people. People are always going to be a problem or a challenge. You'll notice that if you just make a little boundary there, all of that drama, it's a good word, stops because the boundary was put in place. And you got to do that. Why is it there, though? It's to bring healing and restoration. So you're praying for that person. You're still loving that person. You're not kind of cutting him off as a weapon. You're loving them. You're praying for them. But there's a boundary. Proverbs 26 20 and 21, a lot of scripture, but they're all good. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Does that make sense? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So it is with a gossiper or a slanderer. The tongue is like a fire. It can put all kinds of things on fire in an ungodly way, right? Gossiping and slandering is like a fire. It's bad, right? Just like wood brings flames to a fire, when the wood is taken out, the flames of the fire stop. You put up a boundary for someone who's a gossiper or a slanderer, all of those fiery flames will go out, right? So there's a boundary there. People suffer unnecessarily by allowing dysfunction to perpetuate rather than setting biblical boundaries. Happens all the time. And that's not God's best. Again, I want to be clear. Biblical boundaries are never about revenge or punishment, and we're supposed to recognize that they're an instrument from God to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring perspective, to be realigned, repentance, to allow forgiveness to flow, to bring healing to the relationship so that the hurts can be diminished and we can experience a relationship quality that God wants for us to experience. Has anybody in here ever needed to put a boundary in place with a friend or a family member or something? Now, let me ask this. This one's harder. Have you needed to, but then you avoided to? Almost all of us. It's just uncomfortable. And we would just rather not deal with it. Now, obviously, we're just scratching the surface. I'm not going to be able to teach. I don't know everything about this subject. But the Holy Spirit does. And so it's really, really important that you're being led by the Spirit and that you're getting some godly counsel and you keep coming back to the Word. Here's the fifth practical truth for today. We went through a lot, but here's the fifth one. It's a good one. Biblical boundaries are not necessarily forever. They're not supposed to be necessarily forever. Now, this is pretty raw, but it's in the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, I'm not going to read it verbatim. You can go and look at it later. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a man in the church who's living in blatant sin, and he's refusing to repent. So the Apostle Paul instructs the church and the leadership of the church that they must throw this man out of the church and hand him over to the devil so that his sinful nature would be destroyed and he himself would be saved on the day of the Lord's return. That's in the Bible, right? So Paul's putting up this big boundary because he refuses to repent. He's living in blatant sin. But then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, remove the biblical boundary. He's repented. It's time to forgive him. It's time to comfort him. It's time to encourage him. Why? If you don't do that, he'll become discouraged. The enemy will pile up condemnation on him. And we want to reaffirm our love to him so that Satan won't outsmart us, so that Satan won't be able to use condemnation to find an entryway into this man's life and then into the life of the family of the church. Right? So what's the point, Pastor Robert? Biblical boundaries are not necessarily forever. You have to be led by the Spirit and you have to find out is, okay, God's doing something here. I see there's an improvement. There's some repentance. There's some forgiveness. There's a flow. God's in this. Okay, I can pull back on this boundary now. I can pull the line a little back for a little closer to me now. I can let that person have a little bit of access. But you have to determine that with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Lord, the Word, and maybe pull in some other considerations into the picture before you decide. But boundaries aren't forever. I've had some boundaries in my family. I've shared that with you. And then after a time period went by, the boundary was lifted and we're in a really good place right now, right? So if you're having a boundary issue right now with someone, don't be discouraged. The Holy Spirit can work that out. You want to pray for that person. You want to encourage that person. You want to love that person. But you want to protect yourself. You want to make sure that you're giving access to people who respect you and will be responsible with you are. So what do we take away? What are some action steps? Just mention them as we stand to our feet and we're getting ready to close. Go ahead and stand up. Here's some action steps. We want to make sure that we're led by the Spirit and with good godly counsel when we're making biblical boundaries. Second thing you want to do is you want to reassign righteous access and responsibility. Begin to ask the Lord, if there's a relational issue that you're having, ask him to help you to kind of reassign those righteous access areas of responsibility. Make the adjustments. Here's the third thing you can do is you want to clearly and gently communicate biblical boundaries. If there's an area of a relationship where you know you got to do it, ask the Lord to help you to do it and do it. Be clear, but be loving and be gentle. And number four, remember, biblical boundaries, want to be using them as an instrument of healing, not a weapon for revenge. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for the Word today. We thank you for biblical boundaries. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us by the Holy Spirit and by the Word the necessity of biblical boundaries at times. Father, give us wisdom and insight and understanding on how to set them and how to communicate them, how to walk in them. Lord, help us to protect ourselves. Help us to recognize that we're valuable in your eyes and that you've given us the responsibility for who we allow access into our lives. Lord, teach us how to live lives that are flowing in your forgiveness, that are flowing in your grace. Freely we've received, therefore freely we give. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.